It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life." He responded, and now over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes, it is, yes, it is, and it's coming now, it's coming.
Here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, good Wednesday, everybody. Good to have you listening in here on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station. On at this time, anytime, around the clock, around the globe, as we pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. We've got a great broadcast lined up for today. Dr. Donald Perkins is going to be talking about the end time, going to be talking about the rapture, going to be talking about the mark of the beast, going to be talking about the tribulation, going to be talking about marks that may be in process even now, going to be talking about the millennial reign, going to be talking about what's happening with Israel, Iran, Russia. It's going to be a great time here as we have Dr. Donald Perkins on with us today, and he's been on with us a couple of times, but we got some brand new information. He's got some information that he's had for a long time. Just going to rehearse it. It's going to be a great broadcast. I appreciate my granddaughter, Taylor Gentry, hosting the broadcast yesterday, her debut broadcast. We did have some technical difficulties with our provider, and it wasn't on our end, but on those that stream this broadcast every day. We've been on about 10 months now, 9 or 10 months. We've only had 2 or 3 interruptions, so that's not bad. So we're going to pray right now and set yourself in agreement with me. Father, we just pray in Jesus' name right now that your will, plan, and purpose be done in this broadcast on this Wednesday. In Jesus' name, we pray. coming into your presence by the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus, that you will open our ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive whatever you have for us today. And Lord, we live in a realm of tremendous anticipation about what you are doing in our lives, knowing we are living in the last days and the last times, and we have purposed in our heart that we will not be afraid. We will not be afraid. And so we just speak peace over every person that has fear. And I know my granddaughter Taylor Gentry talked about this yesterday, and about fear. But we know that we are living in a time where the peace of God that passes all understanding is filling our heart, mind, spirit, emotions. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to lead prayer around the clock here on BPN Radio. And I want to welcome some new churches that are praying with us, and also some new cities. We have Living Word Christian Center in Ogilvie, Minnesota. We have Church of the King in Mandeville, Louisiana, Crossroads Church in Moore, Oklahoma, and Cross Church in Houma, Louisiana. We're going to be ministering at that church later on this month. We also want to welcome new cities that are praying with us. We have Ogilvie, Minnesota, Mandeville, Louisiana, Houma, Louisiana. Okay, so thank you for joining us. If you want to your church or your city to be represented, you can go to letsprayamerica.com. Letsprayamerica.com. Sign on, sign up, and you can receive our daily prayers that we send out every day on by email. And also, you can have your city and your church represented. So you can do that. Well, here we are. It's just about time to join Dr. Donald Perkins. So get ready. Father, we just pray for our conversation with Dr. Donald Perkins. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, I'm delighted to have as my special guest today a man who's been on a couple of times here on BPN Radio, and has been a friend of mine for several years, Dr. Donald Perkins. And he and his wife, Marie, are spirit-filled, committed Christians who live in beautiful Southern California. I've ministered at the church he attends for many years. And he is the founder and president of According to Prophecy Ministries. He has devoted nearly 30 years to the study of God's Word with a focus on Bible prophecy. And of course, he works with Tim LaHaye and others who have spent many, many years working and ministering together, studying about the prophetic. And of course, he's Dr. Perkins has been guest on TBN, God TV, Daystar, Sky Angel, and other television networks. And I'm glad he's on BPN Network today. Dr. Donald Perkins, welcome back to BPN.
Well, we are honored to be with you again and to spend a little time with your listeners.
Well, I know that you have spent a lot of years studying end times, the prophetic, and I know there's a difference in what I give. Mm-hmm. Not a total difference, but I know that that I operate by revelation and what I hear the Holy Spirit saying concerning bits and pieces. But I know that you have given yourself to the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, and Ezekiel, Jeremiah, concerning what is happening. And I know that so many people are interested. There's a lot of people saying things out there that have very little mm-hmm. knowledge of the Bible, and they've not been down the road very long. But I'm so glad to have you on. And I know that you've been studying the end times for a long time, and you speak at major conferences across America in different geographical mm-hmm. locations, including a research group with Dr. Tim LaHaye, who has written, who's written, got a lot of books out there. Millions of copies have been sold. So let's talk about the end time. I know that a lot of people are interested because, you know, we got Iran, we've got which which is Persia, I guess, in the Bible. And we've got Russia. Yes. We've got the bear out there, and we've everything seems to be. We've got Israel. Could we really be living in the end times?
It is no doubt, Dr. Gentry, that we are living in the last days. I mean, we are living in an amazing time. The scenario that the scripture predicts is definitely set before us, and it's like a panoramic view that we have from scripture, you know, and all the major players in prophecy are here. You talked about Iran and you talked about Russia. You know, what's amazing about those two that many people may not realize, in the book of Ezekiel 38:39, it talks about in the latter day the Gog and Magog war, where Gog, and many scholars believe, as well as I, that represents Russia, will literally want to go down into Israel to take a spoil. And for many years, many people say, well, what is the value in Israel? You know, all the oil is around Israel in the Arab nations. And what has happened of late as a preparation for the end times, God has allowed that little country to find gas. And, you know, this is an amazing sign of the time, because this gas find that they found off the coast in the Mediterranean Sea there, you can't even put a monetary value on it. But what's so significant is that it's going to really help Israel, the Israeli economy. Not only that, but it's going to make Israel a very, very wealthy nation, which they already are. But they're going to start supplying gas to Europe.
Uh-huh.
And then you say, well, Brother Perkins, what's the big deal about all of this? Well, here's one of the big deals of late. Many people don't know that Russia, Putin, actually went down into Israel. He went to visit Israel. He took a big plane load of men. And the Israelis thought that when Putin was coming, he was bringing his security staff. But unbeknownst to them, when these men got off this plane, big old jet, it was like 40 or so, all tycoons, rich, very wealthy, all barons, from Russia. Uh-huh. And they went to Israel. They talked with Netanyahu. They spent a few minutes on Syria, a few minutes on the other areas, but they spent 4 hours discussing Israeli gas. Huh. And Putin made a statement. He asked them if they would give them some control over the gas line, that they would back away from Iran. In other words, they would back away from helping Iran. And it was reported in the news, it says, has Russia sold out Iran for a stake in Israeli gas? You got to go online and find this article. But the article goes on to talk about how, you know, the Israelis, I mean, again, they did not give Putin or Russia any gas rights to their gas find.
Mm-hmm.
And the Russians went back, and then they formed an even tighter agreement with Iran. And what we see right now, Dr. Jinder, is that the Gog and Magog, the players are setting up. Israel has something that Russia wants now. Iran is a part of the Gog and Magog conspiracy that's going to be in the last days. Mm-hmm. So again, we're seeing these kind of political things play out that are precursors to the end time. And again, it's just amazing. Putin thought that he could come into Israel and get control over their gas line. Uh-huh. And the Israelis, again, they are strong, and they told him, no, we're not going to give you any control of that, you know, because Russia's economy is tied to gas and oil.
Mm-hmm.
And now that Israel has this big major gas find in the Mediterranean, it's a threat to the Russian economy. And, you know, the Israelis, they named this gas find Leviathan. And it's out there in the Mediterranean, and it is pumping a lot of natural gas. That's going to make Israel, you know, even wealthier. But again, it's just things like that that are happening behind the scenes that people don't know about, that are indicators and precursors, you know, to the end times. We're living in some exciting times.
Yeah. Do you believe that Israel is going to that Russia will be able to overrun Israel at this point?
Well, based on scripture, the answer is no. We know that based on Ezekiel's prophecy, that when the Bible says an evil thing would come into God's mind, and that he would go down into Israel to take a spoil. And as he does, God will supernaturally intervene. So I do believe, based on prophecy, that Russia will never overthrow Israel. Now, here's something you might want to think about, the Iran situation. I get a question all the time, well, do you think that Israel is going to attack Iran? I do believe that that could very well happen, especially with all the threats and, you know, that the Iranian governments have said toward Israel. Now, will Israel destroy Iran? I don't believe they will, because based on Ezekiel's prophecy, Iran will be one of those nations that's going to come with Gog as they come into Israel to take a spoil. So I do believe that Iran is going to be around, but in the interim, Israel may attack them to try to set their nuclear ambitions back a little bit, you know, because they've been threatened so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, so you believe that everything is being set up for the Battle of Armageddon?
Oh yes, things are being set up, you know, for the end times. And again, you know, Armageddon. I mean, since you mentioned that term, you know, that is one of the most misunderstood prophecies, war prophecies, we call it. You know, Armageddon. Even though it's mentioned so much in the scripture, it really has little to do with like Russia or Iran or things like that. The Battle of Armageddon, we find it in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, and it is a direct result of the second coming of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's a direct result of the literal return of Christ. You know, Armageddon cannot happen without the second coming of Christ. So a lot of times, you know, when you hear on the news that they may have explosions or bombs in Israel, and people say, I even watch the headlines that says Armageddon is upon us. Well, not really. Armageddon cannot happen without the second coming. Now, the wars and rumors of wars and events like that, Gog and Magog, Psalm 83, all those different types of wars could happen, you know, but Armageddon is a little bit different of a war, because it's a war of Jesus Christ coming back to defeat Antichrist and his forces. As a matter of fact, Armageddon, again, cannot happen without the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ will cause the battle of Armageddon.
Okay.
You know, and we know based on scripture that before Armageddon can take place, there's a seven-year tribulation in front of it. Okay. So, you know, the stages are set for the end times, but when you talk about the specific war of Armageddon, that is a war where Jesus Christ is coming back as a man of war. You know, what's amazing, Dr. Jenkins, many people don't realize that in the second coming, when Jesus Christ comes back, he's not coming back as a passive lamb. In other words, you won't be able to slap his cheek and he give you his other cheek.
Right.
In the second coming, he's coming back to take authority in the earth, to dethrone the Antichrist, and then he's coming to set up his thousand-year millennial kingdom. And but the stages are being set, you know, for the end time. We're living in some amazing times.
Yeah. So when we talk about the second coming and the rapture, that is two different episodes. Is that correct?
That is correct. Two distinct events in prophecy. The rapture is an event that is exclusive for the taking up of the church. And I do believe and hold to a pre-tribulational rapture where the church is raptured before the Great Tribulation. And I can give you a number of reasons why, you know, but the church will be raptured before that tribulation. And the way we know that these events are different, at the rapture, the Bible tells us that Christ is coming. The Bible says we will be caught up to meet him in the air. He won't even touch planet Earth at the time of the rapture. He'll come somewhere in the lower heavens, and then we will be caught up to where he is. But the second coming is different because based on Zechariah's prophecy, Zechariah 14, the scripture says that his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives.
Yeah.
In the second coming, he's coming back.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen? His feet will literally touch planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's coming back to defend Israel, defeat the Antichrist, and then set up his government.
Yeah.
So well, those are two distinct events.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the rapture a moment, because
okay.
I know that you and Dr. Tim LaHaye have come under major criticism, and some people think it's just a fairy story, just a fairy tale, that suddenly everybody could be gone. And, you know, even the movie that was that came out in the last several months, that a lot of church leaders, pastors in America refuted that, criticized it. When I was growing up, everybody believed in the rapture in Christendom, but now we have a major divide. Why is that happening?
Well, I believe that divide comes because the message of Bible prophecy is not clearly taught. Sad to say, Dr. Gentry, many churches, many pastors don't see the relevance of the entire message being taught. And as a result, people have bits and pieces of prophecy, and then they pull things out of context. Now, in regards to the rapture and the second coming, what has happened, they have mixed second coming and rapture texts. You know, there are four different views for the rapture. There's a pre-trib view, which I hold. The church will be raptured before the tribulation. There's a mid-tribulational rapture, where the church will be raptured in the middle of the tribulation. There's another view called the pre-wrath rapture. That's one of the newest ones on the scene. It teaches that the church will be raptured three quarters into the tribulation because they believe that the wrath of God is introduced into the tribulation at the three-quarter mark. Then you have the post-tribulational rapture. That view teaches that the church will be raptured at the very end. Now, here's the problem, and I really think that the question needs to be asked, what is the purpose of the Great Tribulation? What is the purpose of the rapture? And I think when you understand the answer to those questions, it puts it in proper perspective. So let's look at the tribulation. What is the purpose of the tribulation? Why has God ordained a great tribulation? Well, the great tribulation is an Old Testament prophecy that started in the book of Daniel chapter 9. And it's a prophecy that is exclusive to Daniel, Daniel's people, Daniel's city, Jerusalem. In other words, it was a prophecy exclusive to the house of Israel. The church was never around, wasn't even around when Daniel received that prophecy. Mm-hmm. Now, of that prophecy that Daniel received, 483 years has been fulfilled. And there's only a 7-year period left of that prophecy that is in the future, which is the Great Tribulation. So that prophecy was never intended for the church. As a matter of fact, that prophecy will complete six different things toward the house of Israel. I've mentioned many times, as I've shared around the country, that the tribulation is pretty much Jewish in nature. And what I mean by that is they have temple worship, temple sacrifice, Sabbath keeping. And then, you know, Jesus warned his Jewish brothers that when they see the abomination that makes desolation, to flee. See, that's not a part of the church. We don't sacrifice animals anymore. Israel right now, they are prime candidates because they are training Jewish boys in animal sacrificing. They have plans to rebuild the temple. They have temple furniture. So all those things are Jewish in nature that would be a part of the Great Tribulation. And what has happened in the church, many people have gotten bits and pieces of that. And they have just mixed it all up, you know. And when they do that, they put the church in the tribulation, which is, I believe, dispensationally inaccurate, meaning that they placed us in a part of prophecy that the church is not mentioned, you know, because the end result of the tribulation is the second coming. Mm-hmm. Jesus is coming back to deliver Israel. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not coming back at that time to deliver the church, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it from that perspective, it puts it in perspective, you know. You know, it's amazing too, Dr. Gentry, at the close of the Great Tribulation, to really make this point even valid, when Jesus come back in the second coming, he's coming back to a geographical location. He's coming to the Valley of Megiddo, which is in Israel.
Yeah.
See, so when Christ come back, he's not coming back to pull up the church. He's coming back in the second coming to deliver Israel from the oppression of the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And then many Jewish people at the end of the tribulation, they would literally cry out for Messiah, which in turn would produce the second coming. You know, to put the church there is to be dispensationally inaccurate, or to put us there is to put us in a place where God has not placed us there. You know, mm-hmm. and I've asked many pastors, many people that have opposition to pre-trib. I say, well, what is the purpose of the church going through the tribulation? Right. And the majority of times I get this, where the church got to suffer. It goes through a whole list of things. I say, well, nowhere in the scripture do you find that. Uh-huh. You know, Jesus, scripture is clear that he have delivered us from the wrath to come. And that wrath is the time of tribulation, excuse me, that's going to fall upon the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
But we have this perspective from the kingdom people that everything is just going to evolve into the kingdom, and heaven will be on earth. Everything will transition. right into the holy city. There'll be dogs without, but everything. So how do we get a clear perspective on that?
Well, again, stay with the simplicity of the scripture. I'm very well. I mean, I've talked to many Kingdom Now people, and again, you know, I mean, they have verses where, you know, we're in the kingdom now, which is true. You know, we are seated in heavenly places. That is true as well. But the problem is that they forget Jesus, the Savior. See, when Christ steps into his millennial kingdom, which is a physical prophecy that must be fulfilled, he's coming back to fulfill the prophecy found in Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, where the scripture says that Jesus will sit on the throne of his father David. That's a physical prophecy that our Savior didn't fulfill when he came the first time. And it's a kingdom prophecy. You know, when Christ went into Jerusalem the first time, we know based on Zechariah's prophecy, Jesus went into Jerusalem riding a donkey. But that was prophesied. You know, Israel, they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Mm-hmm. They threw palm branches in front of him. But 3 days later, they said, "Give us Barabbas." And they crucified him. So Christ, he didn't fulfill Isaiah's prophecy, but it's a physical prophecy that our Savior must fulfill. And that won't happen till the time of the millennium. Now, those who hold a view, a kingdom now view, they have totally rejected the view of Christ coming back to set up his government. Many of them believe that, you know, we're in the kingdom now. Christ is ruling and reigning. Now, Christ is ruling and reigning, but he's not reigning like he's going to reign, where the scripture says during the millennial kingdom, he will rule with a rod of iron. Not only that, but the Bible says that we will rule and reign with him. And here's one more major thing about the kingdom reign. The Bible says that Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Now, you can look around, Dr. Gentry, and you know good and well that the devil is not bound. Now, we can take authority over him as believers. Christ has given us that right. But from a national and a world perspective, Satan is not bound yet. And during the book of during the time of the millennium, the Bible says that Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit, so he'll have no influence to deceive mankind during Christ's kingdom reign. And that's one of those things that, you know, let people know that we're not in the millennium or in that kingdom. You know, and again, there are a number of factors, too, that they also forget. You know, when Christ is reigning in the millennial kingdom, the Bible lets us know that he will even change the nature of the beast. Isaiah 65 prophesied that the lion will eat straw like the ox. The Bible says a lamb and a wolf will lie together. And you know, and the wolf would not eat the lamb. You know, those are key things that will happen in Christ's physical kingdom that many Kingdom Now people have totally just forgotten about or don't want to believe in. And you know, Dr. Gentry, just like Christ fulfilled those first prophecies, there were over 300 prophecies that led into Calvary, and those were physical, specific prophecies. You know, they pierced him in the side. That was a prophecy in the book of Psalms. He was betrayed with 30 pieces of silver. He was born in Jerusalem, Ephratah. You know, those are minute, distinct prophecies that he physically fulfilled. That he, you know, so there are other prophecies in the future that are physical as well. And you got to give him those prophecies because, you know, the Bible says that, you know, he will fulfill every jot and tittle, you know?
I understand that. What about what John said? I saw the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, coming down from above. So is it is there going to be a literal new Jerusalem that will come down? Is it the heaven that everybody is in right now that has died in Christ? Is that one coming down?
Okay, that's a very good question, Dr. Jordan. Now, let me explain it. The New Jerusalem, it will be a literal kingdom, literal city coming out of heaven. But let me give you the scenario as to how it's going to happen.
Okay.
We are currently in what's called the church age or the dispensation of the church.
Yes.
I believe and teach the next major event on God's prophetic calendar is that of the rapture. So we will be caught up in rapture. Then you have the 7-year tribulation on planet Earth. Now, while the church is raptured, we're going to what's called the judgment seat of Christ. Then we will participate in an event in the heavens called the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will come back with Christ after the marriage supper in the second coming of Christ. which will produce the Battle of Armageddon. Christ then goes into his thousand-year millennial government, Revelation chapter 20.
On this then earth. On this earth.
Yeah, on this earth, planet
so,
earth.
So we that have gone to heaven will come back and fight the Battle of Armageddon. Is that correct?
That's right.
We will live in our glorified bodies for 1,000 years on this earth.
That's right, in the millennial kingdom, because, see, the scripture says that we will reign with Christ. Those that will help Christ govern in the thousand-year reign will be those that are glorified. And the reason why Christ is going to use the glorified is because we will no longer at that point have the sin nature in our being. You're going to have two class of people in the millennial kingdom. You'll have glorified saints, and then you'll have natural saints that are considered sheep nations that come out of the Great Tribulation.
Right.
So for 1,000 years, the glorified will help Christ govern all over the world.
All over the world. And so we'll come back, fight the Battle of Armageddon in Israel, but how we're going to be dispersed throughout the nations of the world? How will that happen?
Well, that's going to happen because Christ will disperse us. Because y'all realize he's come back in the second coming to set up his reign. And the Bible says he will rule with a rod of iron. He's coming back to set up his government from Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Christ is going to rule the whole world. Mm-hmm. And then he will dispatch his believers, those that are glorified. Mm-hmm. He will dispatch us all over the world. Remember, scripture says that he'll give some will be over 10 cities, some will be over 5 cities. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen, we will literally be dispersed all over the world to help Christ rule and reign during that millennial kingdom. But let me explain one thing that's really important.
Okay.
Even though Christ is here in the thousand-year reign, it is still not the end of the world yet.
Right.
Because you still have sin. You haven't dealt totally with sin yet. Those sheep nations that I believe will be born-again believers will be allowed into his kingdom, but they still have the sin nature. So in other words, when they have babies, their babies will still be born in sin. And what's going to happen, even though they won't have the influence of Satan, because he will be bound in the bottomless pit during the millennium, they will still sin. And this is one reason why God puts a time limit on the millennium. It will be a thousand-year reign. Uh-huh. At the close of the thousand-year reign, the Bible says that God will release Satan from his prison for a season.
Right.
And what's going to happen, His deceiving influence will literally come back into the world, and by that time you're going to have billions of people born during the millennial kingdom. And even though Christ is here, the Bible tells us that some will not even want to worship him, even though Christ will be here during the millennium. So what God's going to do, and you can read this chapter 20, Revelation, verse number 7, Satan is released, and you have a great multitude of people deceived. Those would be those people whose hearts have not, followed Christ, even though Christ is here in the millennium.
Yeah.
And then what's going to happen? God would judge Satan.
Mm-hmm.
He would judge those people.
Uh-huh.
Then the Bible tells us the next thing, which is the great white throne judgment.
Uh-huh.
Now, the great white throne will be the judgment of all unredeemed humanity from the time of beginning until the end of the millennial kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's going to happen while this white throne judgment is taking place,
mm-hmm.
the earth we know today, based on Peter, will come under a fire renovation.
Uh-huh.
You know, Peter said that he said this current world will literally burn. Uh-huh. And he said, we look for new heavens and a new world. Mm-hmm. Wherein dwells righteousness. And let me just read this verse. Let me read this.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I think this is going to really help. This is found in 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter wrote this. He says, but the day of the, this verse 10, he said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. He said, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person are you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 12, he says, looking for and hastening to the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now here, Peter is talking about the time as the great white throne is happening in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
This current earth that we know of today is going to come under a fire renovation.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know, Dr. Jibby, that the first world was destroyed by water, But the second world is going to be renovated by fire.
And where will we as the believers, as Christians, where will we be when the fire takes place?
I believe we will be in heaven at the white throne judgment, because see, the scripture is clear. It talks about when God judged the unredeemed. The Bible says that even the saints would judge the world. Mm-hmm. We will even judge angels. I believe as the earth is going under its renovation, we will be there to participate in the judgment of the unredeemed. Uh-huh. God will vindicate his judgment on the unredeemed. And one good way we know that, the Bible talks about pastors who will give an account for those who are under their care. But you have many people who have not, you know, responded. Scripture, the saints will judge the world. When planet Earth is going under its renovation, we will be at the white throne judgment as God is judging the unredeemed.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be like a big old courtroom where people gonna try to vindicate themselves, and I can just see the scenario in my mind where God will say, you know, okay, give me Dale Gentry, come up to the bar on such and such a day. Did not I burden your heart with a message, and you proclaim this gospel, and you witness to this person, and this person reject? You know, at the white throne judgment, men will may God will vindicate his judgment on the unredeemed. Mm-hmm. Now, as the white throne is concluded, then the new Jerusalem, the Bible tells us, Revelation 21:22, will literally come down to planet Earth. And I believe at that time is where the redeemed will literally come back to the new earth. Because see, the Bible says this, at the time of the great white throne, it says the earth and the heavens that we know will flee away. In other words, the current world that we know will come under fire renovation. Mm-hmm. And when we step into the new world, it's going to be a brand new world without sin, without sorrow, without darkness, without death. We're going to step into a brand new world.
Yeah.
And again, that's how I see the scenario playing out scripturally. But, you know, like a lot of people have mixed up a lot of the scriptures, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing how God has so beautifully placed this thing out. Uh-huh. And if you look at it in the Word, in the scriptures, you can see it so clear. But I will say this, God has everything under control.
Yes, he does.
And the way the scriptures teach is so beautiful, this panoramic view of eternity. You know, when we step into the eternal world, the Bible says in Revelation 22:3 that there would be no more curse. In other words, the curse that fell upon the world in the book of Genesis, you know, will no longer be a part of the eternal world. You know, I'm reminded, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says God cursed everything that was under their dominion. Uh-huh. Even the beautiful rose bush became thorn infested.
Yeah.
You know, when we step into the new world, since the curse will not be there, the rose bush will not have thorns. And, you know, here's one thing, Dr. Jim, I think that many people have missed. You know, not only did Jesus die to redeem humanity, but he also died to redeem creation. You remember at Calvary, he wore a crown of thorns.
Yeah.
And the thorns was the curse that entered into the earth or into creation.
Yeah.
And at Calvary, he died to redeem us, but he also died to redeem creation. That's why those thorns were placed in his brow. Mm-hmm. It was part of the curse of creation. Well, when we step into the new world, the new heavens, the new earth, there will be no more sin. And we will literally experience the new heavens the way Adam and Eve had it in the very beginning. You know, and forever we will live with God. In a glorified body, and also those natural believers, you know, because you know many people that will be saved. Uh-huh. Many people will be saved in the millennial kingdom,
right?
And they will be allowed to eat of the tree of life. The Bible says for eternal life. So I mean, there's so much that's in the study, and you know,
I know you. You're a remarkable man. And I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to BPN Radio here. And my special guest is my friend that I've had for several years, Evangelist Donald Perkins. And Dr. Donald Perkins, I'm so thankful that we can work together. I know there's a lot of things going on to divide the white man and the black man. But I can tell you there'll be nothing racial that will ever divide us. And
right.
we know... And so
you got that right. You know, we are you know, because of Christ, you know what I mean? Because of Christ, we are one, you know, and Dr. Yeah. Gentry, you know, the remedy for a world that's in crisis is Jesus Christ. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
No matter how we have these race baiters out there trying to stir up things, you know, the uh-huh. answer to this story is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and
absolutely.
That's my message. I know that's your message.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we know that is just a satanic ploy to try to divide this nation. So, so I'm asking you, could the rapture take place at any moment?
Yes, it can. The rapture, it's called an imminent event, meaning it can happen at any moment. Now, what's amazing about this, Dr. Gentry, is that there are no signs that point to the rapture. You know, all the signs we read in Matthew 24, Luke 21,
right.
Mark 13, those signs that Jesus gave, you know, wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, you know, all of those signs point to the second coming and not the rapture.
Okay, what about,
so in other words,
what about in this gospel shall be preached unto every nation? So
yeah,
that is during the millennium, is that correct? Or the,
that's right. It
yeah,
will be
okay. full,
it, you're right. It will be totally fulfilled in the millennium. Now, we've seen the beginnings of that because Jesus said, When you begin to see these things, he said, look up mm-hmm. because your redemption is drawing near. So mm-hmm. That prophecy is being fulfilled now, but it will continue on into the millennium.
Yeah.
The Bible says that during the millennium, people will run to a Jew and grab on his skirts and say, with you is the word of God, you know. But all of those signs, all those indicators point to the second coming uh-huh. and not the rapture. So if we are seeing signs that point to the second coming, that is after the tribulation,
uh-huh.
then how close then is the rapture?
Right.
I believe the rapture is even closer, you know, and again, a lot of people don't look at that from that advantage. And, you know, I've heard people say Tuesday, you guys with the rapture, this rapture, this pre-trib thing, you guys looking so forward to the rapture now that you don't go out and win souls. And uh-huh. that is totally, totally incorrect.
Right.
Because I understand the imminence of the rapture, it makes me more of a soul winner. You know what I mean?
Sure.
If we understand how close it is, it will make us more of a, you know, of a laborer in the kingdom to mm-hmm. reach the harvest.
Isn't it amazing? Because I grew up in the church. My dad was a Pentecostal preacher, had his 50-year pinnacle
yes.
with the Assemblies of God. And when I was growing up and all the first several years of my ministry, there would be prophecies mm-hmm. and tongues and interpretation concerning the rapture, Jesus saying, I'm coming mm. soon. And I just
yes.
can't believe
yes.
that every one of those prophetic words or tongues interpretation were incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that God has changed
yes.
his mind about it.
No, he has not changed his mind. And again, you know, his timing, you know, is his timing. You know what I mean? But I believe those words, as well as the scripture, will come to pass. I mean, there's no mm-hmm. doubt about it. Now, you know, God says I'm coming soon. You know, we look at soon as maybe a few years. But, you know, I mean, no man knows the actual day of the Lord's return.
Right.
But we do know, based on the indicators that point to the second coming,
yeah.
that it has to be close.
Yeah.
You know, because we're seeing signs for the event that is after the rapture. So
uh-huh.
if we see it, I'll say it this way, Dr. Gentry. A lot of times we know that Christmas is coming in November
mm-hmm.
because we see Christmas commercials in November.
December.
So in other words, we know that, right, we know that Thanksgiving is coming because we see Christmas commercials in November.
yeah, you follow yeah me? Right. I hear what you're saying. Okay.
See,
yeah.
So because we see Christmas commercials in November,
right?
That's pointing to December.
Yeah.
Then we know, man, Thanksgiving is around the corner. You know, it's even closer.
Oh, yes.
It's the same situation with the rapture. We know the rapture is close now because we're seeing signs that point to
right.
the second coming.
And again,
a lot of times, I mean, you know, I guess what breaks my heart, you know, is that a lot of pastors have thrown the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, because they don't really understand the rapture or they think of that as such a debate issue
mm-hmm.
That they have just said, well, I don't teach it. You know, some pastors have this view, they call it a pan-trib view, meaning that it will all pan out in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say that that's a lazy view because when
yeah.
you study the scriptures, the Bible is quite clear. Now, the rapture is a blessed event for the redeemed.
Right.
You know, I long for the rapture for a number of reasons. Number one, I will be delivered from this this sin-laden body, even though I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, I still have the war within my members.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have a glorified body. The Bible says when Christ returned, I would be like him. It also says that in Philippians 3, that he would change this vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. I mean, there's coming a day, Dr. Gentry, where we won't have any more pain in our being.
That's right.
I'm looking forward to that.
I know.
And then the best part of all is that the rapture will literally usher us into the presence of our Lord.
Yeah.
And the Bible says we will see him. Scripture says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, I'm longing for the day when I can I can kiss those nail-scarred hands, you know?
I believe that is a hope that makes not ashamed. And I'm looking forward to that, and I believe that that every Christian need to live in that realm of anticipation. And all I can say is to people that don't believe in the rapture, what if they're wrong? And what if they're living a godless life? And what if they're wrong? So I know that you've given a lot of study along with Dr. Tim LaHaye, and there's a whole group of Bible scholars in the mm-hmm. Dictionary of Premillennial Theology.
Premillennial.
Yeah, and you guys have given years and years and years of study to this. And I just believe it. I don't believe anybody can persuade me otherwise. And I guess the question I would probably have to you, because I know that we're running out mm-hmm. of time, but do you believe that we're going to take the mark of the beast before the rapture? Do you believe that's going to happen?
And reason why, the mark of the beast cannot happen because it's an event that would take place during the time of the tribulation.
Uh-huh.
We actually find that teaching in Revelation chapter 13. And in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, that's the midpoint of the great tribulation. So in other words, during the tribulation, it's a 7-year event, but the mark of the beast will not be instituted or empowered until 3.5 years into the tribulation. So even though we see technology today that would definitely be will aid Antichrist and will probably be used with the mark of the beast system, the church and no one in the world today can take the mark of the beast until the time of the tribulation. So in other words, the church will be raptured before the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
The Antichrist will come on the scene.
Uh-huh.
You have a 7-year window,
uh-huh.
but 3.5 years into the 7 years, the Antichrist will institute the mark of the beast. So in other words, the mark of the beast will only have a 3.5 year influence in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have technology, and I have a DVD that we have entitled The Mark of the Beast. And what I do in that DVD, I explain the whole thing about the mark of the beast, what it is, how long will it last,
uh-huh.
who will it affect.
Uh-huh.
So Christians today, sad to say, Dr. Gentry, they are 666 paranoid. and we really don't have to be, because it would not affect us as believers.
Yeah.
You know, I have Christians, man, they get a license plate with 666. They take it back to their Department of Motor Vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, to me, as a prophet teacher, I would love to have a license plate with 666, because I would preach all over the country with it. You know what I mean?
That's true. Well, I agree with what you're mm-hmm. saying, but I do believe there's going to be precursors to that. In fact, I've been mm-hmm. prophesying that the Obamacare we have now, there's going to be everybody eventually, unless things mm-hmm. turn around, are going to receive a number. But that number will not be the mark of the beast.
Correct. Now, I do believe you are right in reference to the technology and people being tracked and stuff. But like what you just said is correct, though, because you got to realize, and that's where some of the panic or the sensational come, where people are afraid. Even though he may implement this system that would track your medical health but that is not the actual mark of the beast.
Right.
That will not happen until the time of tribulation. And those who take the mark of the beast at that time, you know, it's not just taking the mark. That mark will symbolize an alliance and our allegiance with the Antichrist and the devil. And see, this is one reason why those who take the mark of the beast, they will be eternally damned. Mm-hmm. Now, those who may take this chip or this medical device, that is not the mark of the beast. That's not damning their soul. I would say what it is a precursor to perfected technology.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's so much stuff now. I mean, you got your phone that you have is has so much technology that can track you right now. You know
what I mean?
That's
true. That's true.
They know. I mean, there are so many, elevators. Everywhere you go, you are tracked.
Yeah.
They call it a digital dossier. Uh-huh. Every one of us have a digital footprint that's being tracked. Uh-huh. But even though we're being tracked, that is not the mark of the beast yet. You follow me?
Yeah.
But when Antichrist implements this mark of the beast that will be tied to the world's economy,
mm-hmm.
it's like it'll be a switch. You turn the switch and all of the system will literally come under his control.
Yeah.
Then the mark of the beast will be in power.
Yeah.
But all these things are precursors, like you said. Uh-huh. They are precursors in preparation for the mark of the beast. I'll say this, Dr. Gentry, to Christians and those that are listening, when you go to the grocery store and your groceries come back and you have a change that come back $6.66, don't buy nothing else. You know, people buy stuff because they're afraid of the 666. I mean, as a Christian, we don't have to fear that number because it won't affect us. You know, just keep that number and use it as a testimony, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Well, I'm persuaded that we're living the last days, and I'm so thankful that men like yourself, Dr. Tim LaHaye, and others in your group have given themselves to the study of end time prophecy. And, you know, people try to figure out, figure is a good Texas verb there. They try to figure out exactly everything that is going to happen with their mind. But, you know, the Holy Spirit also needs to illuminate our minds concerning these scriptures so that it will bring an assurance in our heart. And, you know, we that know Jesus, we don't have to be afraid. We see all kinds of things happening, but we can be at peace.
Right.
But we need to, you know, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And so people need to have a knowledge of what's going to happen. And I'm so thankful that there are instructors like yourself that have given your life to study this. And, I believe Jesus is coming soon. I believe I'm going to heaven. And, you know, I just believe that we don't have to be afraid. I know we're living a time when people are so fearful, their hearts are failing them because of ISIS and other groups. But I know that we don't have to be afraid. And when I saw those people from Iraq, those Christians who simply, laid down on the beach there. I didn't see any of them struggling. I didn't see any of them trying to run away. I believe at that moment of death, they were at tremendous peace, and they knew that the next few seconds they'd be with Jesus, and so so they won.
Yes.
They won.
Yes, amen. And there's a story of one of them. He had his Bible, and he told one of the guys, he said, "I know I'm about to die," he said, "but promise me that you'll read this Bible," and then they cut his head off, you know. And at that moment, as you shared, he's delivered. All his worries are over. And again, you know, but because we're in the times you're living in, I mean, Dr. Gentry, this is not the hour for people to play church.
It's not
the hour for people just to fool around. I mean, we need to be about our Father's business.
Yes.
You know, as a prophecy teacher, I am so excited about the harvest because I realize where we are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It has given me an insatiable desire to reach the lost,
that's
you know?
Right.
And again, that's why I think that this message needs to be taught in the churches.
Yes.
And I would challenge pastors. I would challenge pastors either to begin to teach the end times, you know, or either allow some prophecy teachers to come in. Yeah. I mean, those are going to preach a solid word from scripture because, your people need to know this. I mean, we are living in the end times, and as you said, we should not be afraid of it.
That's right.
You know, the knowledge removes the fear of it, and when you understand it, it gives you a hope that is exciting.
Absolutely, and I know we're about to break all records of having having a guest on, but it's been very always enjoy having you. And they and people
well,
can people can get in touch with you by going to accordingtoprophecy.org. Is that right? And that's according
with the
number two, accordingtoprophecy.org. If they would like to make a contribution to your ministry, they can do that on the website. And I know that that would be good soil if people wanted to give to your ministry. And if they want if they want to partner with you, and then you've got articles, and you are also on internet radio, and you have you have CDs, you have all kinds of information that would help them in understanding Bible prophecy more.
That is correct. On our bookstore, we have a bookstore online. We have a number of DVDs. We have a lot of topical issues. So if they want to know about the rapture, they can go to have a DVD on the rapture, Second Coming, the millennium. I mean, we have so much material, articles, even ministries, solid Bible prophecy ministries that we recommend. We have a lot of information at the website. They can go there. Now, if they can't remember the address, just go do a Google search on Evangelist Donald Perkins. And then my website will come up that way. We've been online since 95, and we've had a web presence since then, and they can find a lot of information by coming to the site.
Well, I highly recommend and endorse your ministry because I endorse you as
a
man of God. And I want you to, before we go, I want you to pray, would you? Because this is
this is
a prayer broadcast. So however the Holy Spirit wants you to pray, you do it, Dr. Donald Perkins. God bless you as you pray right now.
Amen. Father, we love you. And again, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you, dear God, for such a time as this. We are living in amazing times. Lord, I pray today, dear God, that as the listeners hear this word, Lord, let it challenge us all to become students of the scriptures. Lord, let it motivate us to reach a dying world that don't know you. Lord, excite our hearts. Remove fear. But Lord, excite our hearts to reach the last day harvest. Lord, I pray to God that you again raise up men and women all over the world. Challenge pastors, dear God, to look into the end time message from the scriptures. Lord, we bind every scheme of the enemy and all the lies of the devil that would try to present this end time message in a false light. Lord, we thank you for truth that's found only in your word. Now, Lord, we love you. Touch the hearts of your people, and we give you all the glory. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Perkins, thank you for being on today, and greet your wife Marie for us. And it's good to have you on. We'll look forward to seeing you soon in San Diego or somewhere near. And it's been a joy to have you on today on BPN Radio.
Well, it's always an honor to be with you. And again, we thank you and we love you.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye bye.
God bless. Bye bye.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the interview with Dr. Donald Perkins. Wow, how encouraging could that be, and how insightful that he and Dr. Tim LaHaye and a number of other men have given themselves to the study of prophecy. And he answered a lot of questions, I'm sure, that you have. And it's been so great to have you being a part of BBN today. Remember, we are believing God for 1,000 prayer leaders, and we need you to be a part. We need you to be a part, and all you have to do to be a prayer leader is go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com. There's a place to sign to register, and that's under 1,000 prayer leaders. Well, tomorrow we'll be back at this same time, anytime. We're going to be talking about the general gender-neutral thing that has been proposed by and set in motion by a leading store here, a chain of stores in America. And I know that you'll want to be a part of what we're doing tomorrow as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website, at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.